World Europa presents
Calling Europe, the first pan-European speed podcast.
Welcome to another episode of our pan-European speed podcast, Calling Europe. Today we have our guest, Daniele Latella, who is someone I always associate with basically being everywhere involved and involved in all sorts of amazing things. So welcome, really happy to have you here to interview you.
Hey, yeah, it's a pleasure. That brings me back to my radio days, which I missed dearly. So yeah, it's fun to be here.
What are your radio days?
Well, my European voluntary service was in Hungary. It was a full year in Nyíregyháza. I haven't learned Hungarian, sadly, but it's a complicated language, as you might well know. And it was a European, we were making European recordings in the radio. So we were writing and editing things about our own culture. There were seven different countries, seven people from seven different countries present. And we had one hour episode each in our own language, talking about our culture and about things from our country. And then there was, we also had a lot of confrontation between one another. So we were talking like about police or about the news from each country's perspective. It was a fun idea. And a couple of the people were very great. I remember this one episode, since we had to record in advance what we did, but sometimes we had to talk about news. One time we were so far ahead that it was a month before the episode will go live, so it was impossible to do news, to talk about news that would stay relevant for a month. It's not like there was a global pandemic that would have stayed relevant for that long of time. And so we decided to do a very special episode in which we pick only news from The Onion and went on with it that seriously. And it was the best recording, the best memory from that time.
News from The Onion.
Yes. Yes, it was something like a 120-year-old turtle trying to stretch their neck to look younger is embarrassing herself.
Okay. Right. And well, now that we've actually gotten to know already a bit about you, I think this is quite a good segue to our very first part of the podcast, which is our profile.
The profile.
Daniele, where in Europe do you live?
I live in Valencia, near Alessandria. That's between Turin and Milan, for those who doesn't know Italy very well.
When did you join Volt?
I joined Volt in January 2019.
And what is your job at Volt?
That's a tough question. I tend to do a lot of things. I call myself a connection officer, an internal communication officer. I dabble in HR, community, tech, legal, the governance commission, always about building the structure of Volt. And so I'm involved in 5 to 10 different projects at the same time in general.
You're basically like a flexible construction worker in Volt. You just go places and fix stuff.
Yeah, that's what I do. I'm a builder.
And the very last question is, where is your favorite place in Europe?
Oh, well, I'm partial to where I've just been. I visited Spain and the Basque region. I've been in San Sebastian, and I love between in the area on the mountains near the, how are they called, the Pyrenees. Those mountains are amazing. I fell in love with that place instantly. So I guess that's my favorite place in Europe for now. Maybe it will change next month.
It'll change at the next GA. You never know.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if it's not an online GA, that is.
I still have to see Lisbon. So, yeah, I just passed by in the past.
There you go. Next GA, Lisbon, here we come. Might be your new favorite place.
The three questions.
Well, thank you for sharing your favorite places and where you live and what you do. And now we have the famous three questions for you, Daniele.
Question number one.
Our very first question today is, what do Volters have in common, in your opinion? And what I mean by that is, like, what unites us as Volters?
That is a very important question. And I think we don't have a full, complete answer to that yet. Building our community is very much part of what we are doing. So there is There is this dream of a united Europe. It's, we don't feel the borders. We most of us have grown without knowing the borders between one European country and the other. We can travel freely. And I think that one of the points that gets us all together is this feeling of country borders do not matter. That should not matter as they do. They were they're an old political tool, and they only define our cultures, and not even that well. That's one of the key points that I see in all voters that I speak with. Then there is, I think when we call ourselves a youth movement, sometimes all the older people that join Volt feel left out. But I see that those people, I always tell them that the youth that comes with Volt, that then I see in all Volters, is you are young if you still believe that there is hope for the world, that there is something that we might change. If you don't give up to, it's always been like this, because it's never been like this. It's been like this for a century or two. At most, everything can be changed. Everything that is human as a begin somewhere down history and can be changed as we evolve. So if you have that in your mindset, no matter what your anagraphical age is, when you were born, you are young. And so that's what makes Volters young and globalist to a degree. There are people that want to create space intergalactic union within Volt. There are people that are more realistic and are focusing on Europe alone. But we all have this vision of a united Europe, then a united world, stuff like that, you know.
Yeah, I think I very much agree with the with the saying that Volt is so young doesn't actually have anything to do with like your biological age, because your mindset has to be quite flexible, I guess, if you want to like engage in our ideas, because it's still so far from reality, right? To have a federal Europe that you need to be quite forward thinking and able to be flexible and change your mind and say, hey, if something changes, we can adjust to the situation, but we need to keep moving forward in that one direction. And I find that interesting. And I definitely agree with you on that one.
There is a third point, actually, that came to my mind. And I say this knowing that we might be a majority, but not the entirety of Volter, but Volt is feminist. And that is very important to me, because it's something that I'm actively working to make happen in Volt and then outside of it. How we recognize that there is across gender, across race, there are disparities, and we want to fight them where they are struck, where they hit the structure of our governments, so that we can build a more fair world. It's something that, you know, it requires a lot of discussion, a lot of basics have to be put down on how we want to structure it. But since it's something that I'm investing a lot of time in, I see that a lot involved, and I only want to see more.
Nice. I really, really like that you actually mentioned that, because I also do believe, I think there's always been a bit of confusion around what the word feminist means to everyone, because it's some people just don't see it as being wanting people to be equal no matter what they identify as. And I find that so interesting that we are continuously having these discussions, and some of them are repetitive, but we're all growing together, and people do realize, maybe I'm just going to say, but do realize they actually are feminists, even if they thought they weren't before, you know. It's so interesting. And yeah, I think it's great that you're so active. Maybe we can get into that in a minute.
Question number two.
Because the second question is, when did you decide to become politically active?
That is a tough question. I have I think I can go back to when I was five and I was forced to go play basketball because my father was born around basketball. And since he was young and still down to today, he's still playing basketball. He's a passion that now I can recognize is amazing, and it's an amazing sport. But he forced that on me when I was five. And when I was five, I decided that at the training session, I will sit in the middle of the field until someone will bring me away from there. This episode tells me a lot about how I moved forward from there, because I remember when the five-star movement in Italy was just starting. It was before becoming even a political party. They were having this petition for a law to give a specific terms a number of mandates for politicians, and I believed in that, and I wanted to. I don't remember if I was 18 or 17 or something like that, but I wanted to gather the signatures, help people to express their support for this. And I had a table that was supposed to be the one in which the signatures, I could gather signatures on, and it couldn't fit in my car. So I remember bringing it on my shoulders all the way to the central square of my city. So there's that episode. Maybe there's something before that, but...
I really like the basketball story, though, I have to say.
I'm stubborn as that. Never change. That runs in my family.
Nice.
Question number three.
And now we come to the last question, which is Anna's question.
Daniele, what is the moment that you felt the most you were part of the Volt European community?
All right. Well, if I have to think about that, it's most likely definitely when we had the GAs. When we have the General Assembly, I'm considering Sofia because it was the last European GA physical. And also, I was running for the board like you were, Eileen. And it was an experience. I got to talk with a lot of people. I still got. I remember that I came away from that with. I knew I didn't make it into the board, and I was perfectly okay with it because I trusted. Enough of it. I trusted. There was a lot of people that I knew and that I knew that would do a great job. Like they demonstrated that as far as I'm concerned, and I came away with a lot of ideas. I managed to talk with a lot of people, like I tend to do with Volt, about a lot of different things, a lot of different ideas, and then I had That's the best thing. That's where I can exchange the most. I can talk about this problem, and then someone that was just hearing comes in. It's fantastic. And then there's all the partying, of course. That's the best. It's the international environment that I love and I long for every day.
When you joined Volt, did you expect for it to be so international, or did you get to know it in a way that it was very international, so you were not surprised? Or
I expect this because when people that happen to be part of Volt generally experience the best side of the European Union, be through a program, be through some exchange, but they managed already to be in something like that. The environment that gets created, even in a simple training session funded by the European Union, is when you have people from 10, 20 different countries in the same room. That environment is the European Union experience at the purest form. And we distill that and we make that in Volt because we want more of it. It's amazing and we should have more of it. If you never had, please do. That's the story. That's what we want to do with Volt.
So, Daniele, then if we imagined we had a GA next year and you were participating in it and it was a physical GA again, and COVID was history and everyone was happy, who would you love to meet the most from all of our vaulters whom you haven't met yet?
I always want to meet the tech lead because they're generally people that don't go around much. They use their technical ability to stay as far away as possible from anybody for good reasons. But I have to say Sven Dam, the community lead, for the very simple reason that Sven Dam went to do the tour for Europe Cares with the truck. It was a tour around Germany, 7 days, and I heard it was amazing and everything. But what he did 6 days before he was to start, he told me, "Do you want to come?" These are the most powerful words that someone can tell me. I definitely wanted to come, but I couldn't afford it because I can make time. I can organize a 7-day trip in like 2 hours, no problem. It's one of my favorite things, actually. So I was extremely tempted to do this trip with Sven, but I couldn't. And so I'm looking forward to meet him in person. And I'll probably rent a car at that point and just start from the GA and go somewhere else.
I think if COVID slows down and we're a bit better by next year, you should come to Frankfurt and meet Sven here because we have our elections on in March. And there are surely really great election events, and you should join us for one of them if it's safe.
Oh, that would be amazing. I mean, at the end of the day, there is this thing in which we are now about 6,000 people, just members of Vault. And there could be more, there could be less. It's hard to count them because we are very, there's a lot of changing numbers all the time. One time I'm aiming to be a digital nomad, and so I would like to meet every single Vaulter ever, which is a lifelong work. Definitely a lifelong work. But I want to set my life to be something like that. So having the structure of Vault, it's amazing. It gives me like stepping stones.
Yeah, I agree. It's really something different in a positive way. And now we come to our music question.
Your favorite song.
So you know that every Vaulter that joins us on this podcast is allowed to name a song that he or she would like for us to put on the playlist for everyone to hear. Which song is yours, Daniele?
Oh, it was a tough call because I, between the many things that I've been doing music myself. And there is, I did a couple songs back in the day, but of course I'm not going to be that self-referential and say, oh, listen to my city. No, but I've discovered through the Adam Neely YouTube channel, I think she's 16 or 17 years old girl that is called Erin Snape, and she's amazing. But I just noticed that her first album is coming up in November. So it's not on Spotify yet. We cannot add it. She made an amazing song that is called Credits. But luckily, so I have a second choice, Kay Tempest. She used to be called Kate Tempest, but now made a transition to non-binary and changed their name to Kay. Made a couple amazing albums, three amazing albums, books, a poet, they're a poet. And I would like to then propose The Sound of Ram, which was the original band they were in. The song is called Roomba. If you never hear it, it will blow your mind. That song rocks to like abysmal levels.
All right. Thank you so much, Kay Tempest. We will add her to the playlist, promise. Thank you so much, Daniele. And we come to the very last segment of our podcast.
The nomination.
Who would you like to nominate for our next call? And what question would you like to ask him or her?
I had a lot of options and I tried to reach out to a number of people. So I don't have the 100% confirmation, but I hope that I can get them into the next podcast. I asked Julia Anisco to be the next guest, and I hope they do, because they are an amazing person. If you don't know her, American, Polish, non-binary, Poland country lead and design co-lead, yeah, as well. So they're one of my favorite person in Vault. There's no telling. So, oh wait, but now I will have to come up with a question for them. Okay, so Julia, I definitely want to ask you, how are we going to expand in Poland, knowing all the challenges that are there with the reactionary government that you have to face, and the LGBT free zones that are there? We know it's a big, big, massive challenge, and I want to see what's your take on it.
Thank you so much for being part of the podcast, Daniela. It was a pleasure to talk to you and highly insightful. And thank you to all our listeners who participated in hearing what us Vaulters are interested in, who we are, and getting to know us a little bit better.
Yeah, thank you.
That was
Calling Europe, a production of Vault Europa.